When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Hi, welcome back. Crisello. Scraby today, and we're actually stealing some of his show. It's really the Scraby Chronicles.
It's the Scrello show on Wednesday.
We'll be calling it the Scrello, which is not my favorite, really. I know it's a combination of our names, but I don't think it
works. What should we call it?
Just call it the Scraby Chronicles with me.
With Crisello.
Dominating the show. Featuring this. Yeah, featuring Crisello. Tony will be with us all day tomorrow in studio. We look forward to that show, which will be from 2 to 6. And we'll be, what's the deadline actually at?
3 p.m. 3 p.m.
Right, so you don't want to miss anything there tomorrow.
AJ Preller seems to always make his trades about 15 minutes.
2:59.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing that'll happen tomorrow, I'm giving you a little advance notice. We'll hear about trades after 3 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
The deadline for them to make the trade is 3 o'clock.
Yes,
that
correct.
Doesn't mean we hear about it.
No, they have to process the trade and all that other stuff.
And if you remember a few years ago, after 3 o'clock, according to Ken Rosenthal, Max Scherzer was a Padre.
I don't think I'll ever forget that day.
I'm just going to always dislike Ken Rosenthal for a variety of reasons, but that was the beginning of it.
We were celebrating for a good 30 minutes Max Scherzer being a Padre, and then he's a Dodger.
Right. It was double
like,
Jeopardy.
I couldn't even believe.
It was double Jeopardy. Not only did we lose Max Scherzer, but the Padres got him. I mean, the Dodgers got him.
Yeah, that was bad.
And we kept saying, too, man, that Ken Rosenthal, he's so good. He's on top of everything. He breaks all this stuff. Yeah, well, we've changed our tune, Ken.
Ken.
Anyway, if you're just tuned in, Padres with another shutout victory. This bears mentioning, Scrabe. We're up to 15 shutouts now this season. That's the most the Padres have ever had before August in any season. I don't know, you know, the all-time record, I think, in the, quote, modern era, pretty sure it was 27. I don't think the Padres are going to quite get there.
No.
But 15 is a lot of shutouts.
That is.
And they did it again today thanks to Darvish. I mean, he was just, you can honestly describe the result of today's game in that word,
Darvish.
7 innings, 2 hits, no walks, 7 Ks, 76 pitches, and 54 strikes. Complete, you know, control of things. And it comes on the heel of one of his worst starts when a lot of Padre fans were about ready to sell him down the river. So,
I was, and we're going to update you on Ohtani in a second. I also have a Stephen Kwan update.
Okay.
But I've learned this over time, Chris, because when I first started this show, yeah, I was a completely reactive person who wanted to DFA everyone and wanted to do all this. But over time, I've learned I have to give some time in the season before I start coming to my conclusions.
Yeah.
And Yu Darvish basically just started his season.
Yeah.
So we had to give him time.
Especially veterans that
like
deserve...
him.
He deserves a little leeway. He's Yu Darvish. He's not just some rookie trying to make the club.
No.
This guy has proven what he can do.
In fact, he is now the... let me get the actual...
Okay.
Because he set a record today.
All right.
And I just want to make sure I have it right. He has the most combined wins for a Japanese-born pitcher in history. He has 204... Hirooki Kuroda had 203. Hideo Nomo had 201. So he's passed both of those guys. Yeah.
How many wins? Okay, so how many wins does he have in the U.S. or in the MLB? I should say.
Let's look it up. Because
this guy, he's an artist when he's doing what he did today. I'll be honest with you, Scrabe. I'll put up with a couple of bad outings just so I can see one like I saw today.
Yeah, his ERA before today was 9.18.
It went down. Yeah, he was so
good. He has
good.
110 wins in baseball, and today so would he be 111.
All right, so 111 and about almost 100 in the Japanese league.
So 204 yeah, minus 111.
93.
Okay, thank you.
You Darvish, man, it was fantastic to watch today. And I'm going to agree with some people. Look, there's going to come a day when Darvish doesn't have it anymore. I agree with, you know, people say, well, he doesn't have it anymore. He's, you know, he's 38 years old. How long is he going to do this? He's not going to pitch through his contract. I don't know where that's all going to go. But I will tell you this. The day that Darvish loses it has not yet arrived. And I believe he proved that beyond a shadow of a doubt today.
He just knows how to prepare. He knows what he needs to do to take care of his body. He's not a guy who's going to go quietly. He's going to give it everything.
How about that slow curve that he kept
71 miles an hour. Francisco Lindor got a pretty good swing on that. But
got one, but yeah. He didn't get enough of it.
No.
You know, that's still an F8. So, yeah, Darvish was the guy. All right, update us on Ohtani. This was a really... If you were with us when this happened about an hour ago, Scraby and I were ready to end his career.
Yep.
And you can't blame us because of what it looked like, the optics. So tell everybody what happened with Ohtani. Apparently he's going to be okay, but
this is what my Yahoo notification was.
Okay, tell us.
Update.
Right?
Ohtani has cramps.
Cramps?
That's what it says.
What's he having a baby? What do you mean he had cramps?
Alvin Gonzalez later tweeted, looks like Shohei Ohtani left his start after a bout of cramping, tightness in his lower half, nothing arm related.
All right. Well, that's great.
That was very dramatic for some cramps.
That is very dramatic for some cramps. If you saw what happened like we did, he threw six straight balls. He
like
fell
behind, wild pitches.
Right. Didn't even come close. He fell behind 2-0 in the count. And then all of a sudden, Dave Roberts and the trainer come running out there. And they talk for like, da-da-da-da-da-da. And then he leaves the game. And you're like, wow, that could be it.
Man, this is it for them.
Yeah. But apparently, he's okay. He has stayed in the game as a hitter. But he did end up pitching just 3 innings, 51 pitches tonight. But apparently, by all reports, he's okay. Keep it in the back of your mind, though. Because, you know, these kinds of things can be a little weird. I hope it's cramps.
Update.
No way.
Ohtani has cramps is one of my favorite headlines of the season so far. The Stephen Kwan news is that he...
The only thing better is if he had cramps and he was on his way to Toronto in a jet plane.
Oh, poor John Morosi.
Yeah.
The update on Kwan is that he said goodbye or waved to all the fans.
Stephen Kwan.
But he's in the game.
He played tonight.
He's giving the waves to everyone. Like
maybe he knows
game.
Something.
Yeah, maybe.
Guardians just finished a 5-0 win over the Rockies. And here's what makes you think that he knows something, Scrabe. They're playing at home Friday night. So, like, if he was going on the road, then I could understand you're waving just in case you get traded.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's just why he's doing it. Maybe in case he gets traded tomorrow and he won't be playing Friday, he's waving. But he doesn't know. They have an off day tomorrow.
So the latest from our guy that we just trashed, Ken Rosenthal.
Oh, yeah. What misinformation does he have?
In The Athletic, he said that the Padres and AJ Preller are still pursuing Jaron Duran and Stephen Kwan. They're also pushing for A's closer Mason Miller. And the reason I made the sound is because Chris said it earlier. He's going to be too expensive.
Who, Duran?
Duran.
Well, if that other report was right, maybe
that's
the Red Sox will
true.
Take just Dylan Cease. But if you're going to, and don't need Ethan Salas thrown in. But again, if you're going to trade Dylan Cease, to me, you better find a pitcher somewhere in return.
I mean, Mason Miller, and there was talk about him stretching out to being a starter in the future because he has full contract control. Mason Miller was a big story last year. He hasn't been as good this year, but I would still take him on the... in the bullpen for sure.
Well, I would take him depending on what I have to get rid of.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want them to trade Dylan Cease. I don't want it to happen. I feel like Dylan Cease is a guy, even though he didn't have great playoff games, like I feel like his strikeout stuff is what you want in the playoffs, because he could go ahead and strike in the playoffs. And it's not easy to come by someone who can do that.
And it's not easy to come by pitchers who throw over 100 miles an hour like Mason Miller does and has a, you know, a whip of 1.0.
Okay, that's
the last 2 years. He was under 1 last year. He was I'm getting older, Scrabe. He was 0.87 last year on the whip. This year he's 1.01. So he's quite good. 59 strikeouts in just 38 innings. He blows everyone away.
But
this year's ERA is a run higher, so he's given up some more runs this year.
If I'm the Padres, why do I want to break up the four horsemen? Why do I want to get rid of a pitcher who's an established big league pitcher, maybe a little bit inconsistent? Why would you want to get rid of that?
Look, if you trade Cease, there has to be another trade.
It has to be.
Okay. So that's the one thing I'm going to be keeping an eye on. And let me just ask you this. In a vacuum, if you traded Cease and got Mason Miller somehow, what if you traded Suarez and got a starter, and now Mason Miller becomes one of the four horsemen?
Okay.
And he's under control, whereas Suarez is not. Maybe that would make sense.
That would be rough, going from the Padres to the A's.
Oh, for Suarez? No, I'm saying Suarez goes somewhere else. There's two trades.
Okay. Oh, okay, I got you.
Cease has to go to the A's.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, why would they want Suarez? They're losing teams, so they don't need a closer.
No, but
yeah.
They could take Cease, and well, I don't know what they're going to do with him either, honestly.
Because yeah, what
Cease
do they need with Cease?
They're not going to keep him. He's going to leave after the season.
So we've just struck that deal down.
Yeah, we just came up with an idea and then blew up our own idea just in a matter of moments.
Yeah, I really think that they should, for the most part, keep what they have together, but they have to add some bench spots. Have to.
The bench has been awful all year.
They can't add any more spots.
And that hasn't changed, actually, even during the 5-game win streak. The bench is still pretty
much producing nothing. Except for our guy, Bryce Johnson.
Well, he's starting now.
That's true. You know what's going to happen, Chris? We're going to sign off at 7 o'clock.
Tonight? 7:01?
No, it's going to be like 7:22, and I'm going to be driving home, and there's no one here to like just jump on the air to talk about it. I remember that happened. Framil Reyes got traded to the Guardians years ago, and our show literally just ended, and we are already in satellite, and Adam was like, you guys want to go back on? I would have done it. I would have.
All right, I'm going to say this right now. If there's a trade at 7:02 tonight,
okay,
I want you to get me back in the studio, and I'll do it.
What's the magnitude of the trade?
I think, honestly, for the Padre fans, any trade.
Okay.
If they trade anybody, we'll come back in and we'll talk about it for a little bit. Because I got nowhere to go anyway.
Yeah, I don't either.
You know.
And we're going to be on all day tomorrow.
Yeah, all day tomorrow. All right, we got the Scrabinator or the Scraby Chronicle kind of segment of our show. We're going to let you kind of steer things in your direction. And we'll do that when we come back here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, 6:18. Welcome back. Gwen and Chris hanging in with the Scraby Chronicles till 7 o'clock. Appreciate you guys all being out there and watching on the chat. And 5-0 Padres with the Darvish performance today. Finishing off a sweep of the Metropolitans, send them packing, and the Redbirds will be in next. Cardinals are losing again tonight, 2-0 to the Marlins in the sixth inning. The Cardinals have been, they haven't won since the Padres left town. The Giants lost again, and so the Padres keep, you know, picking up some nice ground in this wild card race. They're right now 3.5 ahead of the Reds. Reds and Dodgers are still tied 2-2. They're in the eighth inning. Shohei Ohtani left the game after 51 pitches with cramps. And Scraby and I thought he was out for this season.
You know what
more.
I hate is that it looked bad.
It did. No, we're not wrong on this one, Scrabe, because we're watching with no sound.
No
right?
sound, but it looked TV very on. Concerning.
Yes. You had the trainer. You had Dave Roberts. You have the umpire going, oh, God, he's waving to the bullpen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shohei puts his head down. He walks off. You're like, oh, no. And then they tell us he had cramps. And as I said, at least, you know, next time, at least hold your side. Just to give me an indication.
Oh, my side hurts.
Right, that there might be something.
I mean, come on, Shohei.
Help us out a little bit.
Drink some pickle juice or something.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give you Manny Machado.
I got scraby stats.
You got some scraby stats. He had the two-run single today. He had the three-run homer last night. He's had back, seven of his last eight games with multiple hits. Sitting over 300. Depending on what day of the week it is, he's been leading the league in hitting. You know, when Will Smith doesn't have enough at-bats to qualify. Right now, I think Will Smith does have enough at-bats. But that's those. I'm going to give it to Scraby for the stats, but I don't think you're going to be able to top this one. This one's been driving me crazy all week. Randy Vasquez for the Padres has gone 11 consecutive starts without either a win or a loss. I don't know that that's ever happened. And we're talking about, I know this day and age, things are a little different, et cetera, but 11 consecutive games, he hasn't been the winner or the loser in any of those games.
So does that tell me that he's pitching
crazy?
He's pitching good enough not to lose, but he's not pitching good enough to win?
I'll tell you, here's the number. Here's the amount of runs he's given up in those 11 games. 3, 4, 0, 1, 3, 2, 4, 2, 2, 1, 1. So only 3 of those 11 games, he's given up more than 2 runs. But he can't get a win, but he's not getting a loss. 11 consecutive. That's got to be, you know, somebody somewhere got that record, you know. They have every record nowadays.
They do.
But I've never heard of something like that. Here's something that I know is a record, by the way. The Royals beat the Braves today 1-0 in 10 innings. The Royals set an all-time major league record by using 9 pitchers in a shutout. That is
one per inning?
I guess.
That's crazy.
Let's see. Somebody must have gone more than one inning.
There has to be.
Their second guy, somebody Bolin, pitched the second and third innings. Otherwise, everybody went one inning.
That is crazy.
First time that's ever happened in baseball history.
Wow.
For those keeping track of such
that
things.
That is insane, I have to say.
It is. All right, Scraby, give me some stuff.
All right, first, we're doing the post game show. The happy hour is brought to you by GL Pools, the swimming pool experts trusted by thousands of San Diegans since 2006. Baseball season is in full swing, and so is swim season. Call GL Pools and mention radio for a free month of pool service. You know what? Let me get some music for this real quick.
You take care of yourself when you have a nice segment.
I actually don't know how this segment's going to go, so maybe the music will help it. But I was thinking today, because Manny Machado came in to the game today hitting over 300, and I was like, is this the best start that Manny has ever had through 109 games in his career? And I looked into it. Now, let me tell you what he's been doing recently, because he is on fire.
Cooking.
Last 7 games, Chris, he's 16 for 30, .533 batting average. His slugging percentage is .833. He's got a 1.3-something OPS over the last 7 games, 10 RBIs, 2 homers, 2 stolen bases.
I would have thought that the he actually has 3 stolen bases.
In the last 7?
Time. Yeah, he stole one today. You got to give him today's stolen base.
Oh, no, dude. Yeah. That's not updates.
He's up to 3.
Oh, no.
Look, I thought when you said he has a 1,300 over the last 7 games OPS, I thought his OPS was like 3,000. Like, that's how hot it seems like he's been.
He has been. Oh, yeah, you're right. He did get a stolen base today.
So, and he's got, 10 RBIs in the last week?
Yeah.
3 last night, 2 tonight. Now, he's been great.
Last 15 games hitting .367. Last 30 games hitting .303.
Wow. I mean, this has got to be one of the hottest stretches he's ever had. Now, I'm sure he's had others, right? You know, they put it up there on the screen today, Scraby. He's now had 10 20 home run seasons.
Yeah.
There are very few guys who can say that. You may have 9, but to stay around that long and be that consistent, 10 seasons, that's really one of the most impressive stats, I think, for Manny, you know, along with all the other stuff. But
for me, at least, he is the definition of check the baseball card, because he is the same every single.
And I have to admit it, like you all of the years before this one and me this year.
Oh, yeah. He starts low.
When he had 3 home runs in May, I was like, come on. you know, he's got to get going.
Yes, well, he does.
I don't know what I was worried about.
Trent Grisham just hit a home run in the bottom of the eighth to tie up the game 1-1 in New York.
For the Yankees.
All right, here we go with Manny Machado's stats. Through 109 games in his career.
Okay.
Manny's current .302 average would be the fourth best in his career.
Really? He's been ahead of this pace before, huh?
Not by much, though. Okay. .309 is the leader the year he was traded to the Dodgers.
Okay.
.305 in 2022. So he had the 302 average is the fourth best now. Okay. Of his starts through 109 games. His 20 homers this year, he's way behind the pace, Chris. It would be the ninth most in his career through 109 games.
Well, you read the bubblegum card stat. Let's just take out the COVID season. Okay?
Okay.
And here's his numbers. 35, 37, 33, 37. 32.
Just book it.
28. That's a bad year.
Yeah, that is a bad year.
32, 30, 29 last year. And on his way to 30, I would say, again this year.
That's a model of consistency.
How many years in a row is that? 2015 to 20. That's 11 straight years of really good. And the only reason he doesn't have 11 straight years of 20 home runs is because of the COVID thing.
I think we can.
Right.
We can always throw that one out there.
Man.
His 71 RBIs through 109 games would be the fourth most in his career. However, the first three spots are all in a Padres uniform. So top four spots of RBIs in his career, he's done as a Padre. His 10 stolen bases this year are second most in his career through 109 games. His rookie season in 2015, he stole 15.
And at this point. He finished with 20.
Yeah,
that wasn't
point.
His rookie season, though.
2015?
No, his rookie season was 2012 with the Orioles. 2013, he was an all-star.
What?
2014, he hit 12 homers.
I shouldn't have said his rookie season.
Right. Yeah, 2015 was his fourth season. That was his first 30 home run season.
How did I miss it that bad?
That's okay. You only miss it by 4 years.
I know. How did I miss it?
You know, this isn't that important.
No, I shouldn't have said that part. through 109 games, Manny Machado's 127 hits so far would tie for fifth most in his career. So my conclusion of this, is this the best Manny Machado we've ever seen through 109 games? Can't say it is, but the impact that he is having is weighted because he is carrying the team this year.
And when I say this next thing, is somebody who's not a Padre fan out there going to totally roll their eyes and say, oh, you're being a homer. But is he working his way at all into the MVP discussion right now?
Oh, he's already there.
I mean, with his streak right now, and look, I think the Padres would have to overtake the Dodgers and win the division for him to be considered.
Shohei can't win it at a .270 batting average.
Yeah, he can. I mean, I hate to say it. Shohei wins it, you know, going in every time.
I hate that the MVP isn't the actual MVP. It's not the most valuable player. Like, Manny Machado, you can make an argument, is the most valuable player for his team. Because if they don't have Manny Machado, they are not this good.
I will say one thing. If Pete Crow Armstrong keeps dropping fly balls like he did last night and leading to the Brewers beating the Cubs last night, that might also help open things up. I think he's another one that you're going to have to finish ahead of.
Yes.
Because he's had a really good year. And the WAR people love
PCA.
PCA. He's a 6.3. He's 1.0 ahead of every player in baseball except Aaron Judge.
Really?
So you're going to have trouble beating out PCA, but I'm not enamored 100% with PCA. He's made a lot of rookie mistakes out there. Manny's
got a lot of errors this season, though.
Yeah, it's errors, and it's, you know, remember the one he forgot how many outs there were. You know, these are rookie things. I'm going to give him a pass to a certain point, but he's your other big competition. Those two, I think, Shohei and PCA for Manny.
I think he's right
but
there.
But so you don't think I'm being too much of a homer to say it?
No.
I think some people probably would say, oh, you're just being a homer.
No, when you're hitting 300 consistently over, you know, 30 game stretches, you're in
he's
the
been
MVP
quite valuable lately, that's for sure.
Yeah, he has been. Real quick, I just wanted to shout out someone because they are watching me right now. My little niece, Adeline. Is watching
Adeline?
Me right now. Yes, Adeline.
How do we spell Adeline? I need to get this in my...
A-D-E-L-Y-N-N. Adeline. She's part Irish, so okay. They wanted to do a different name. They wanted to do something that was a little bit Irish. So okay. Adeline is watching right
Adeline
now.
Adeline sounds a little Irish. I will agree there.
She's 10 now. She went to Universal Studios for the first time yesterday, and she had a great time. And so happy birthday, Adeline. Appreciate it. Love you.
Hey, Adeline, thanks for being part of the show. And
she's a Scrabinator. She sent me a picture.
Did you get her a shirt?
Yeah, a picture of her in the shirt. My brother-in-law, when my nephew was born, was wearing a Scrabinator sweatshirt in the hospital photos. I was like, you could have put on a better sweatshirt.
You still haven't beat out the morning show. I'm sorry.
Why?
I got you, Darvish, on a baseball card. With the Ben and Woods logo on it. Come on.
Yeah.
That almost seems like they paid the Topps company to do that.
I mean,
Ben and Woods.
You Darvish came out with the Ben and Woods shirt did
a huge press conference with the Ben and Woods shirt, then Topps, is it Topps? I think it is, used that photo for their baseball card.
Yeah. And that is pretty cool. I gotta say. Like when he looked in his
incredibly cool.
When he looked in his locker, he goes, that one. I think this was the press conference when he was kind of talking about what happened last year. And
I'm only you know, talking about this because I'm totally jealous of it. But then again, what am I jealous of? We don't have a t-shirt. So there's no way Manny or anybody else could wear one.
You remember when we used to do Chris vs. the Fans and we were trying to get trinkets and they told us no?
Pretty much they shot us right down.
That was when I gave up on the Gwynn and Chris shirt idea. Because they're like, no. Oh, Yankees took the lead.
Yankees are up 2-1. They need a win tonight as they look to hang on to the wild card. By the way, Tampa Bay losing that game now. And they are falling completely out of sight in the race for the wild card. You know who's jumped into the race in the American League quietly while we're not looking? Bruce Bochy and company.
Really?
Just a game out of the wild card.
I was not looking.
Today. Yeah. Coming into today, Texas only a game back. All right, we'll take a break. We got a bit of a potpourri / Big Five. Tell you what's going on. Update you on any trades. I can tell you in advance there haven't been any since we last talked. But stick around. More to discuss as we roll towards 7 o'clock. All right. Trade deadline eve. Final half hour here with Gwynn and Chris and Skrello. Scrabby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Trade deadline, if you're just tuned in, maybe you're, you know, working late today. Good for you out there. But you didn't get the trades. There were two impact trades today in baseball. Yoan Duran, the Twins closer, goes to the Phillies. And that's a big deal for the Phillies because they really don't have a closer at all. And they're already a pretty good team. So that's a big deal for them. The Mets get another back-end reliever in Ryan Helsley from the Cardinals. Everything else, I would say, is more of the minor variety. And if you're wondering if the Padres have made a trade, they have not as of now. If you're wondering whether the Padres won again today, they have. How about 5-0 behind a brilliant performance by Yu Darvish this afternoon? 7 innings, 2 hits. No walks, 7 strikeouts. Home run, Gavin Sheets, his 15th of the year, a 2-run shot. Manny singled in 2 more. He continues his torrid hitting. Padres have the day off tomorrow. Everybody will sit back, enjoy the trade deadline, I guess. And then the Cardinals come calling on Friday. The rumor about Stephen Kwan gaining a little steam tonight because after their game in Cleveland tonight, he went around and pretty much waved at everyone in the stands. Maybe he knows something. Maybe he's just being really pleasant and polite. But, like, I didn't see any Padre guys doing that today after the game. And they have the day off as well tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which tells me no Padre knows anything. But, you know, maybe I'm reading too much into whether or not Kwan knows everything, anything. One more thing, Shohei Ohtani, scary moment, at least if you were listening to this show. He left the game in the middle of an at-bat, 4th inning tonight. Dave Roberts, the trainer, came out. Shohei walked off the mound by himself.
Oh, that was the wrong
one. That was wrong. I don't know what that was.
Dude, that was a raptor.
Yes, that was a velociraptor.
A velociraptor.
Velociraptor.
You know, they're reptilians, Chris.
Okay.
Get it right.
All right.
That's what I meant.
All right. Yeah, but we thought Ohtani was hurt. I think everyone did for a minute at least. Turned out he had cramps. You talk about a false alarm.
Yeah, seriously.
Ohtani's apparently okay. The Dodgers, though, not okay. They're trailing the Reds here 4-2, bottom of the eighth. If that score holds up, the Padres could pull within three little games of first place in the NL West.
Something That's why keep they an eye should on. Be going for the division. They have 7 games. What is it? How many more games do they have left against the Dodgers? 6 games.
Pretty sure, or 7. Now that I said it, I'm double-checking myself.
They have 3. They have 6.
3-3.
Yeah, they have 6. They have 6 games head-to-head with the Dodgers. Now, the last time they faced off, it did not go well. But
doesn't mean it won't go well this time.
Exactly.
Padres' schedule is tough coming up. Cardinals at Arizona, and then right back home for Boston, and then right back on the road. San Francisco, L.A., then home, San Francisco, L.A.
I will say this a million times. I hate how they've done that.
Hate the schedule. We all hate the schedule.
How they've done that part of it.
No, we do. The schedule's terrible, not just for the Padres. I mean, everyone in baseball is doing this now with the, you know, the, quote, balanced schedule.
It's not balanced, though.
Well, we're missing out on so many great rivalry games because of it.
I agree.
All right. Reds just added to their lead, 5-2 over the Dodgers. All right, now, deadline tonight. But guess what else tonight is, Scraby? Only you and I know this. No one else is thinking about this.
Is it a full moon?
But you and I, no, we don't. I don't. I would. You might know that. I don't know that.
I don't know.
Here's something that you and I do know. You don't know that you know it, but you do.
Okay.
Tonight is the eve of the first preseason game in the National Football League. Hey, there it is. Scrabe. I know we're baseball crazy around here, but we've got to be honest with ourselves, man. The NFL is king right now. Tomorrow night, it's the Hall of Fame game. And you and I will tune in just to see a little football.
That's why I'm thinking, like, it's not that big of a deal.
It's not, because no one cares about the game. But I'd like to watch it and know that football is back. It's time to start getting my fantasy prospects together, you know.
But the Chargers are playing.
Yeah, I know. I'll watch the Lions.
Okay.
Just look on the other side. You got the kneecap cannibal will be out there
just
for
whenever,
you.
Just whenever, just put a piece of paper over the screen for wherever the
you know.
Chargers are.
They're never going to be likable here, and I don't blame anybody who finds them to be distasteful. But Jim Harbaugh has brought a little spark to the thing, I think. A lot of people seem to like Harbaugh.
Of course.
So
he's an interesting guy.
Right.
He's kind of crazy.
He has brought a little spark, but you're right. I mean, I'm never going to like the Chargers again, and don't expect many people around here to like them. But anyway, we do have a couple of football notes, is why I brought this up.
Okay.
Pass them along. Go. You got some stuff. Trey Hendrickson?
Trey Hendrickson, and first, the trade deadline, 97.3, the fans' coverage of the MLB trade deadline, is brought to you by Palomar Health, champions of healthcare, champions for you. Now.
Wait, sorry. You can interrupt me so I can interrupt you when something cool happens.
Sure.
Some guy for Tampa Bay just hit a two-run homer off Devin Williams.
Yeah.
In the ninth, the Rays go back ahead of the Yankees 3-2.
Yep. My fantasy season is about
to be over. That your guy, Devin Williams?
Yeah, he's
sorry
been
about
struggling.
That.
And I lost Class A. I had a cheater on my team. See, I shouldn't say that because
and
it hasn't
Ronald
been proven.
Acuna going on the injured list.
Oh, man. Now I've had Jackson Merrill this year.
It's all falling apart on you.
Gunnar Henderson has done nothing for me this year.
All right.
Anyway.
I'm sorry I brought this up.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Williams was your guy.
I'm feeling the mortality of my back-to-back reign
That's
as league
true.
Champion.
You have won back-to-back, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I'm feeling it's over, so it's okay. It's hard to handle.
Hang in there. You never know. There's still 6 weeks or so
That's
left.
That's true. That's true. So Bengals star defensive lineman Trey Hendrickson has ended his holdout. Now, he was very serious about this holdout. He did not want to come back this year without a new deal. But you know what? He said something that I actually really, really respect. And he said, quote, What I'm not going to do is, as best I can, I'm going to avoid being a distraction. I want to help the guys that have helped me along the way. DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan, Sam Hubbard helped me a lot when I was here. So to be that right now, I think that's what's most important. And he's talking about being a productive helper to the team.
Is he not still a distraction, though, in the sense that he's not willing to practice? He's at practice, but he won't practice until he gets a contract. So you're saying, and he's saying, he's ended his holdout. But the only way he's really ended the holdout is by walking onto the premises and standing there in sweats. So is he still a distraction is what I'm asking you. Because he kind of is, I think.
Yeah.
Even though he's saying he doesn't want to be.
That does change. I mean, at least he's there and he's participating in meetings.
I agree.
And he's helping. There's he's something. Coaching up guys. You know?
It's something. But you know what? Here's the problem Trey Hendrickson has. It's the same one that Ja'Marr Chase had. And it's the same one that Burrow and the rest of those guys.
Exactly where you go.
They got the worst ownership, you know, the second worst ownership in the league after our
Dino.
Guys. After Dino. I mean, Mike Brown, his dad was one of the gurus of the history of football, Paul Brown, right? Paul Brown, you know who coached under Paul Brown and learned under Paul Brown? Among others, Bill Walsh and Don Shula.
Oh.
That's how smart Paul Brown was.
Okay.
But his son's an idiot. And that just, you know, the apple fell far from the tree. Hey, I shouldn't say he's an idiot, but he's not a great business guy. He does not run that team in a way that is beneficial to that team.
Now, my friends in Cincinnati are saying that, they've always said this, that he just does not want to spend money whatsoever. It's just not something he's interested in doing.
Yeah.
And so for him to sign Ja'Marr Chase to that deal was pretty crazy. But he knew. He knew they needed him. Because Joe Burrow would have been very upset if Ja'Marr Chase
left. He tried everything he could not to sign him to the deal.
Of course.
And only the good graces of Ja'Marr Chase did he go out last year and ball like he did.
Yeah.
With no contract, basically.
Yeah.
That's all good on Ja'Marr Chase.
It is. And he had a great year, so good for him. But, yeah. The other news story that I saw, which I always find this really interesting, because coaches that are kind of, well, coaches that are new, number one. We're talking about Brian Schottenheimer, the head coach of the Cowboys. In his first year, they try to, like, lead with an iron fist to try to get the respect of the locker room.
Okay.
Well, today there was a fight. There's a bunch of fights that have been happening in practice, and the head coach attempted to take control by making the team run. Even some of the members of the coaching staff were told to join the players. He said, "You want to fight? Let's bleep and fight. Get your patootie on the sideline." And so they did sprints during practice.
Does any of this still work? I know
that's
it worked
the
in the 80s, 90s, you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's what you did.
That's why I'm bringing this up, because I do not feel like in this day and age, running sprints is the way to go for an
NFL
head
coach.
First of
all, it's easy for pretty much most of these guys to run sprints. They're all in unbelievable shape.
Exactly.
Whereas in the day, that was kind of a punishment. Now, you know, they can handle it. Yeah, we'll have to see, right? Only time will tell, but I'm agreeing with you here. I'm not thinking that is necessarily the way
that is
work.
A guy who has, to me, without knowing him at all, that is a guy who doesn't know how to command his. He wants to be that type of leader where, hey, you mess up, I'm gonna make you run.
Yeah,
I don't
we'll
think
that's
I don't think it's gonna happen.
I got one football story that
Let's
I think is fun for me. Tua Tagovailoa says if he has a say, he'll be on the field this preseason, said Tua. He would love to see some run, and he even said an extended run during the preseason. Said, quote, "I'm not too cool to play in the preseason." Guess what, Tua? You are too soft.
Oh.
So don't get the hell out there. Stay on the sideline. Soft is a bad word. You're too brittle. How's that? I mean, he's one hit away. You know it. I know it. Everyone knows it. And you don't want the hit to be in the preseason game.
Definitely not.
Some kid trying to make the team, you know?
He needs to have a. He needs to put together a good 12-13 game season this year.
It's going to be hard to do, but, you know, because it's just, you know, it's too hard to avoid getting hurt in the NFL. I mean, I talk about he and Herbert. They came in together. The Dolphins had their choice of who to pick. Most people think Herbert is miles ahead of Tua. I don't. Maybe I'm a little bit more, you know, Tua friendly. And, you know, the thing with Herbert to me is he still hasn't won anything. But in the category of durability, it's not even a contest. Herbert is one of the toughest guys in the league. Didn't he play last year with like a broken head or something? Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Something happened to him and he's out there. And poor Tua, man. Everything he turns around, you know, he's out of the lineup for 6 weeks. So we'll see. Bad news again for the Dolphins. Freddie Kohu, Cater Kohu, sorry. A really up-and-coming good young cornerback. Torn ACL today.
Ooh.
He's the third Dolphin cornerback already out for the season. And remember, they traded Jalen Ramsey.
I thought, well, Jalen Ramsey could step. Oh.
No, they have no cornerbacks to begin with, and now three of them are out for the year.
So I have a trade, Chris.
For the baseball?
Yeah, but not a Padres-related trade.
Okay, not Padres. Is it move the needle?
I think this is a guy that could have possibly become a Padre.
All right, let's stop the NFL music then.
Okay.
Let's give it its proper due.
Also, this game is crazy. Anthony Volpe just hit a home run to tie it up in the bottom of the ninth. 3-3 now.
Yankees and Rays. Having some fun out there in the Bronx. Okay.
Our guy, Ken Rosenthal.
Ken Rosenthal's reporting this trade is done?
Yeah, but Jesse Rogers is also reporting it. Cubs acquiring Michael Soroka from the Nationals.
Yeah. That doesn't move the needle.
That doesn't? I thought that was a guy that the Padres were kind of sort of looking at.
Michael Soroka had a... well, I mean, look at his numbers this year.
I'm looking at his numbers. He's got a 4.87 ERA.
4.87.
He's got a 1.13 whip. He's 3-8.
His whip is okay. The Padres saw him a couple of weeks ago, and he pitched okay. This is a guy who had a great rookie season. 13-4 for the Braves. That was 6 years ago. Since then, he is 7-22. Missed two complete years due to injury. He went 0-10 last year for the White Sox. Could the Cubs catch lightning in a bottle? Yes, of course they could. Soroka's a big league pitcher, but this does not move the needle.
Here's a tweet from...
If the Cubs are looking for starting pitching help, that, to me, is not the answer they're looking for.
Here's a tweet from a Nationals fan base.
Oh.
If last night was Michael Soroka's last Nats start, the final results were poor. He went 3-13 in his starts. He was a questionable acquisition when signed, given how poorly he pitched. So...
I just said it, Scrab. He was 13-4.
Right.
Since then, he's 7-22.
That does tell me a lot. It does tell me a lot.
He's a Hab, though. Did you know that?
A Canadian?
He's from Calgary, Canada.
I feel like, is that offensive?
A Hab? No. Okay. Habitants. That's what they call the Montreal Canadiens,
right.
The Habs.
Right.
That's nothing offensive about that. I believe the word, and I've heard this before, maybe a real good Canadian listening can tell me, but the Vancouver Canucks, I've heard the Canuck can sometimes be... taken the wrong way.
Interesting.
So I don't know.
I will never say that word in Canada.
Don't call anybody a Canuck just in case.
Spring Valley Sean has something funny to end the show on. My 4-year-old son chants holy sheeps instead when Gavin comes to bat. Instead of holy sheets. Holy sheeps.
The whole sheep thing continues.
Yeah. I also don't understand dairy bonds, but... that's for a different show.
I haven't got that one either, but we'll talk about it more.
There's only 13 seconds left. I can't explain.
All right. Padres win 5-0. All day trade coverage tomorrow. We'll see you then.